Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Fan.
You know how when they yell cut, they wouldn't stop.
That's interesting.
What?
Yeah.
If you were Donna, what would you have said?
A waitress rather call the police. And she was mistaken 90210 for
Hobson.
Along with your host, Charles Rosen.
But look at that Dean cake. And Dan probably got the best performance he ever gave.
We're having a meeting here?
Oh, at least there's one person on this ricotta set that knows what they're doing.
Larry Mullen.
I had a friend named Craig Richland. There was still cocaine around and stuff. I always remembered him. I just kind of thought I would honor my coke dealer.
Get out of here!
Pete Ferrero.
Here's what I learned. It's possible Claire would have gone out with me.
That was your takeaway.
So sit back and relax because it's like totally time for the Beverly Hills 90210 show.
Just hold on to me tonight.
Okay, we are finally back live on the Beverly Hills 90210 show. Maggie right out the gate says hi. Hi, Maggie. I hope you're doing well. Good to see you. Good to see you both. Larry, how is everything on the East Coast?
Staying our place in Martha's Vineyard and just kind of doing the life here. I'm shell fisherman here. So I have lots of clams and clam dishes we do. Lots of music here. Lots of local musicians are very good. And, it's just there's a dinner season and we have friends we've been knowing for decades now. So it's very comfortable. I wanted to say one thing. So I ran into someone here who runs a very good writing workshop called the Chilmark Writing Workshop. And one of her seminars, someone wrote this story, which then she forwarded to me, which was a 90210-based one. And it kind of reminded me of some of America's zip code stories. It was a girl who grew up in her name was Catherine Dubert, D-A-U-B-E-R-T, Dubert.
Okay,
very kind of a restricted, maybe perhaps religious parents. And she wasn't allowed to see the show, but she felt like she was being left out. So she would research the TV guides and newspapers to get the log lines. And the next day when people talked about it, she could hit all the bullet points and kind of pass. And I kind of thought that was a really cool story of how she survived. And then later on as an adult, she's seen the whole series. But I thought that was a good American zip code story from North Carolina.
We should bring back the Story Slam maybe. I feel like the Story Slam should return with people getting to, now that we have the Reddit community behind us, I feel like the Story Slam should make a return.
That's always fun. You think that would work for you there, Brian?
I think so. I think I know a few people that do a lot of fan fiction writing, so I think I know some people that'd be interested in doing that.
Yeah, I always thought that was kind of good to put stories in between the episodes or things we, because our episodes, and Chuck would verify this, typically, certainly in the seasons 4 to 7, they always were the weekend. It was usually like a Friday to Monday. It was always the same thing. So what happened Tuesday and Wednesday? So those are the episodes I want to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Before I say hi to Brian, Larry, are you making any clams oregano? Is that something that's in your...
Yes, we do. My wife, that's one of her specialties. We do clams casino with Charisse Portuguese sweet sauce, and also with bacon. She does clams oregano. We have... raw clams, we have vongole clams, and there's a Portuguese kind of skillet clam dish which we're doing now.
This is great. I was on the East Coast, and
the oregano is great. Ours are better than anybody's.
It's amazing. Brian, how is everything going on Reddit? What's happening? What's happening? Any good shit going on? Anyone getting into it with each other?
Oh God, all the time. I was gonna talk to you guys about this earlier, but it boggles my mind. 30 years later, and there's still, you'll get the constant bickering over Team Kelly, Team Brenda. Like, good God, you'll see like threads where they just go on and on. Getting at each other. It's
Brian. Does it bleed into their real personas? Or does it bleed into Shannon versus Jenny Garth within this argument?
Oh yeah, definitely.
I mean, obviously, it's our fault.
This is going to be a controversial statement, right? But
it's really, just doom these relationships.
Go for it, Pete.
I'm Team Kelly in terms
about 30 years later. If we didn't do it.
I'm Team Kelly in terms of the storyline. However, mm-hmm. I'm Team Shannon in terms of the of the others. Yeah.
I'm team both, but I've made my
I have no problem just picking a side.
Dylan, Brenda, and Brandon, Jenny. I thought they brought out the best.
I mean, because
those are real relationships. I thought I'm looking like down the road relationships.
Now we're going to be driving the car this week into. I don't know that we're driving a car, but we're driving into season 7. Yeah. Face off. We're talking about hockey. There's a lot of hockey going on in real life right now with the Rangers. If you're in New York and Florida,
we've got some friends who are fanatical Ranger fans. I'm sure you know. What's it, Michelle? What's her name? Lojack or
Lopetegek.
Ed Kank, but she's a phenomenal. Yeah, they're all Ranger fans.
My Brian, what is the name? How do you say the last name?
God, this is
it's Lojack. Name. It's just let's just go with Lojack.
We're going light. I was kind of like
she's in there.
No, she's great, and her husband is great. They go to. They actually, you know, they're great New York fans.
Yes. And Paula says that Paula is a Bruins fan. So that's
thank you. Yeah, I mean, we won a series. You know, the Florida Panthers are very good. I mean,
we're going to run an ad, and then we're going to come back and dive into this episode. We have the old trailer.
This is episode 17 of that season, so it's kind of a January episode, kind of just before February sweeps, which are the Moneyball.
I got quotes from some of the actors about this, so this should be a fun episode this week. Okay, here's an ad first.
Hey, Beverly Hills 90210 fans. Check out all the latest rad stuff from the Beverly Hills 90210 show shop. They have everything you could possibly imagine. So, like, go there now, okay?
I just wanted to add, if you're watching the show on Instagram Live, which you're welcome to do, that's great. But if you want to have your comment read on the show, on the podcast, you have to be on YouTube to do or Facebook to do that. So just a note for those that write things in Instagram and then I can't post it. Oh, me with the tech always. Okay. Let me see here because I have the trailer for this episode, the trailer, the commercial, whatever we're calling it. Is this it? No, that's next week. I think this is this week. Okay. Here is what you guys put out, what Fox put out.
Next week on 90210.
Oh my God.
I just want to talk to you.
You've been following me?
Don't scream.
Out of all the guys in L.A., she goes for my old boyfriend. She's been sharpening her claws on Tom.
Keep your head up. Keep your stick out of my face.
It's not like Brandon to play dirty like that. Wouldn't have anything to do with you kissing Tom, would it, Cal?
What do you think, Larry?
Obviously it starts a little bit, I'm sure there's a little bit of a more of a head to it, but... okay, so we saw some stuff there. We've seen the stalker for Donna. We've got to bring back Garrett Slan. That's kind of interesting. We kind of see a glimpse of him. And then you see, you see a triangle there. You see all, Valerie, Kelly, Brandon, Tom. And, that's okay. I'm not wild about it, but it'll do the trick.
I'm not wild about that commercial either. Maggie says, hey, what's next week on my birthday? I don't know what day specifically is your birthday, but next week I do want to announce right off the bat, the episode we're covering is we are going to have Charles and Larry back here, Brian and I, and we are going to pull clips from all the other podcasts, whether it be Shannon's or Jenny's or OMG or our own podcast or all the podcasts of 90210 where things have been said and get reactions from Charles and Larry to some of the comments that have been made in the various places. So that's next week. Larry, before we get into this episode, I want to show you next week's episode because next week's episode, the trailer is so good.
It's sweeps week. Sweeps month.
Wednesday on 90210.
Who are you?
He's the one that stalked me.
Okay, everybody down. Everybody down, flat on your stomach. Now!
What is that? That's a gun. He's got a gun.
That's the Detective Rendell. We have the building surrounded. Anyone hurt?
No, not yet.
Please put down the gun.
That now I'm gonna compare the 2 weeks. I'm watching next week.
Well, because it holds together. The other one was just too it was too random together. It didn't really have a theme to it. It should have started with the hockey as a people fighting. You know, it could have written a better one. It just wasn't well done. I'm firing that guy.
That detective, is that the guy that you were talking about, Pete? That was a friend of Larry's?
Yes, Art. What's his name? Art Hindle.
Art Hindle.
I love that guy.
Of course, you've seen him in a billion things. I mean. Some actually really good movies, including Porky's and Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the original one.
Getting back to this, let's Mark Reese is a character that was on 90210. We've talked about him quite a bit here. A kissing problem comes up, and suddenly the actor may or may not have been anti-Semitic and was removed from the show. Essentially, that's what one of the reasons was thrown out there as a possible reason for him to be not on the show anymore.
Like I said, I would consider it more of a kissing problem. It just wasn't going to happen.
I've never heard that.
That was to save someone embarrassment. Better that you think that he's an anti-Semite than a bad kisser.
Right. Because the power
involved. I mean, I don't know what the thing it was.
The powers that be know that you and Steve had just done so much work on this character, and now he has to be removed from the show. Yeah, but you remove the actor, and we get Tom Miller.
Well, kind of, yeah. We have to put something back in Kelly's life. We know, and nothing's going to stir the pot more than a little bit of Kelly and Val stuff, so you know there, and we cast a very good actor who should have had a much better career. I thought Kane Pacoy, his name was. He plays Tom Miller. He's a big guy. He's from Buffalo, and so yeah, thinking about how we could kind of play out everyone's kind of inner emotions. We could get a little bit of hockey in. Okay, I'm running the show at this point. Everyone's getting their deals picked up, and I'm not. I'm trying to get people to really like me, you know. And so I came up with the idea to put Jason playing hockey. You know, it was something I know he loves. And I just thought we could really bond more on it, but it didn't quite work out that way. But anyway, I packed it up with, we have Cam Neely, who now is the president of the Boston Bruins, also Martha's Vineyard guy. He's in it. And also Ron Duguay, who was the last player to not wear a helmet in the NHL.
Chuck Rosen says, have a good show, off to the bowl with Karen to see JT.
James Taylor, right.
All Dodger fans are going to miss the Mets. So, thank you.
So mean. I think you. The Reds gave him some trouble, though. Johnny was very happy.
Okay, so we get the actor, Kane Pacoy, and I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, he has a real quiet quality to him. He doesn't really push the role, and he plays really nicely. And again, you can see why Jenny does flirt with him. He's a good-looking guy. He's a big guy. Yeah, she seems a little bit desperate rebounding from Mark so quickly. But it also does have the inner layer of kind of pissing Valerie off. So we do play the girls that way. These are mean girls, don't forget.
Yes.
They're Beverly Hills girls.
Brian, what does Kane Pacoy get love or not love on Reddit?
Oh, respect. They absolutely adore him on the subreddit. People love Tom.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he brings so much to the show. I think he's better than Mark Reese. I'm so sorry.
Well, I'm sorry, but the Mark Reese character has got to be great because, again, beyond Beverly Hills is Bel Air, and that's where Mark Reese was from. So The Bel Air kids were in second place, okay? That's what's so cool about Mark Reese, but it didn't work out. What are you going to do?
Move on. Paula says Dalton James originated the role of Hank Bennett on NBC's soap Passions. I don't know, is that before or after?
That's what I was wondering, too.
I would say after.
Okay. That's a very valid option. And so you bring this idea to Jason that we're going to be skating. How does that go? Does he love that? Is he all excited? Is he mentioning other hockey players? Did you
Well, I knew he was going to be helpful getting the hockey players too, because he played in the Celebrity League. You know, Jason is a very good hockey player. You know, he grew up in British Columbia, outside of Vancouver, I think, in the suburbs, and he played hockey. And he continued to play hockey in Hollywood, as did I. I was a member of the Hollywood Hockey Club, which was not the Celebrity Hockey Club, but we had celebrities. You know, David Kelly, Peter Berg played in that game. A guy named Steve Brill, who created the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, and, well, that's appropriate for him to
a
be.
Lot of, a lot of agents and a lot of directors, you know. It was a fun time. We had it on once a week game.
Don't know what this is in reference to, but Leah says, I appreciate your honesty, Larry. Huh. All right, here's some.
You know, if we can't be at this point, there's no point.
Here's a little
hot. Thank you. I appreciate it.
This is some hockey.
Good.
Look, I mean, this is great shit. This is well shot, well put together, right?
Yeah. That's Jason there. Now, Tom did not skate, so he was probably just fucking shaking. But Jason got a little backhand there. Again, hockey is a very physical sport, so we could use some of their, like I said, inner emotions. Play it out, you know, in a physicality that, you know, you really have the Brandon character, you know, acting a way that he really doesn't really want to be acting, which is, you know, being too aggressive and, you know, costing his team.
MJ, I didn't write this on YouTube, but I'm going to read it anyway. In an alternate universe, Mark and Tracy are together. Miserable, presumably. Okay. Kane Pacoy was on our podcast at one point, and yeah. I have pulled that clip because it plays to what you were talking about what did Kane Pacoy actually do.
Oh, well, one second before that, again, you know, as a producer, it really behooves you to make sure actors can do the things in the script that you want them to do. And I'm sure, I don't know if we asked Kane if he could skate and stuff. And I'm sure he said yes. Like,
well, one of my favorite things or stories from the 90210 that I don't think a lot of people know, and I reiterate on this podcast all the time, is the actor that Cress Williams, who was going to be, you know, the basketball kid, Deshaun,
kind of screwed up on.
He didn't know how to play basketball.
Well, he did know how, but he was not comfortable playing basketball. He was not it was not something he pursued. So he didn't play. You know, he knew how to play. You know, he knew how the mechanics of it. But
so
that was the day that I remember Chuck calling me. I went to the set that day with Dr. Daniel. And Chuck said, "How'd you do?" I said, "He doesn't know how to play basketball." It's like, oh fuck! I mean, you know, it felt like wrong to. I mean, but you have to ask. It's just you know, it happened again with, you know, Mark Damon Espinosa too, which he wasn't really that great of, you know, understanding baseball. Which I wrote the original character of that. And it was that he goes down to a little league field and has a catch with his old coach or some kind of.
And Mark Damon Espinosa couldn't catch.
Well, I just had to cut it. Once he didn't feel comfortable with it, I'm not going to put him through it. I
mean, oh, you never want to
make the actors look good. So, I mean, I've learned that at an early age in producing. You know, don't make your actors look stupid.
From a sporting perspective, you're 0-3 in.
But I mean, you know, it didn't matter. I mean, I wanted, you know, again, I wanted to have more of a relationship with Jason. Which, you know, the great thing is now I do. I believe.
It just took some time. It took some time to. Now he appreciates it. Right? You know, I mean.
Yes, I mean, no, now we can, you know, laugh back because, you know, we've been through the battles together and we created a wonderful show together and everyone did their part, thank God. And we all survived.
Larry, I have to be honest with you. I think sometimes are happen for a reason. And it was great that you weren't there in 8 to 10 because the ship was sailing in the wrong direction and you would not have been able to help, and you could have done your best, but what, you know, if you have people that are working there that want to see a student newspaper become a profession,
I would know right away. I mean, that was just all wrong. It was just they were trying to do the anti-show, the extraordinary kids living ordinary lives rather than ordinary kids living extraordinary lives.
Yeah. It's like if you got the role. Larry, it's like if you got that role in The Facts of Life. If that happened, we could have gotten 90210.
And you may not have gotten George Clooney. You know, that's it.
I would have stifled his career.
The MJ again makes a, I bet Dan Rubin could throw a baseball. Andrea's biggest mistake was dumping him. So that's very funny.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was kind of two-faced, sort of, you know.
Okay, so this is what Kane Pacoy had said about what he actually skated. You know, you do stay on the show and do some really cool things outside of Jobbed, and I wanted to ask you about the hockey. Larry kind of mentioned the hockey thing. Were you? We talked a little beforehand, so I know the answer to this, but were you really into hockey before before doing this stuff?
No. I have two left feet. I was so not into hockey. Jason actually, you know, bless him, tried to give me lessons and stuff like that. I did some I could skate forward.
That's great.
Yeah,
I couldn't stop.
Good job editing there, Chris. Good job editing.
I can go left, right, and do a circle, a really big circle. But then there was a segment where they had me going backwards and facing off with Jason's character, and you know he was trying to work with me. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And had all the gear on. So they rigged up some kind of ice dolly or something. And
camera's point of view, yeah.
Yeah, and it was so awkward because I had to kind of like do this kind of like, you know, fake left and right.
Yeah.
So bad. I mean, my family still teases me about it.
I forgot most of that. That's great. God bless Kane. Hopefully he's doing
I just remembered it all right now when he said it. But so we watched this on the watch along, Larry, and you suspected there might have been some sort of ice dolly.
Yeah, you know, which you have to do again. You got to protect the stars, and yes, they just had a camera moving, and so he just kind of had to just kind of move forward on his legs like he was, you know.
I mean, you know,
otherwise it'd be wasting production time. We just can't have that. So you have to come up with a solution that's going to be, you know, cost effective.
I'm just thinking about that now. Like, it looks terrible. now that I'm thinking about the episode, like, it totally looks like, exactly like he described.
Yeah, we should really bust Chip Chalmers on that.
And, well, Chip Chalmers was probably.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was a friend of Jason's also. So maybe that was a part of it. You know, when we cast him.
I'm sure Chip Chalmers who's very lovely, by the way. I'm sure he was like, "Fuck, Larry, the guy can't skate. What am I going to do here?"
Well, you had so many other people can skate. You know, I don't know. It was a tough one to stage. I didn't actually go down there for the staging of it either. For whatever reason, you know, we must have been busy with something else. But yeah, you know, it served pretty good. It works okay. As a theme works, it kind of get Jason's kind of pissed off and stuff, which I like.
I have a question. You're not going to remember it, but was this, because this is great, this little standoffish kind of stuff in the with the two characters. Was something like this planned for Mark Reese? Was there a story like maybe we'll have Mark? No.
Well,
because they did have.
I came up with the dryer story because I had to get rid of him, have turn him heel. I had to turn him from babyface to heel
real quick. Yeah. Well, here are two characters that just can't get along.
Kelly, Valerie, what? I just parked next to you. Right next to me. Did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed? The side without a man? Don't do this. I am warning you. I understand I'm not having a great day myself. Didn't sleep much last night. I don't even remotely care about what you're talking about. You know, I don't think Brandon and Tracy slept much either, if you know what I mean. Why do you do this? For fun. Hope your day improves. Mine has.
So
you wrote this dialogue, Larry. Please tell me you wrote this dialogue.
Sure. All the credit because Laurie McCarthy does not want any credit.
She does not want to come on this show. So, but I want to say but Laurie is such a wonderful writer. Like, she wrote so much really good stuff in this episode. And this is, and also in other episodes, Laurie McCarthy is an important writer on 90210. I wish she would come on the show and own it. You know,
she was a junior writer then, but she had a nice touch. We liked her.
and remained friends with Jessica Klein through the years too.
Yeah,
that's cool. So, okay, I don't know what I pulled here.
Oh boy, here we go.
I think shit's gonna hit the fan in a second.
Oh man, don't open that door.
Hello, Donna.
By the way, the music is like perfect.
I have to ask Larry, did Fred have anything to do with this?
It sounds This was Jeff Dana. I checked. This was Fred. You know, Fred having done a lot of horror stuff. I thought it was perhaps him too, but no, it was Jeff Dana.
Yeah. All right, let me keep playing this. But I did get a quote from Donna Martin, the actual Donna Martin, about her hairstyle in this.
Oh my God!
Donna, look, I just want to talk to you.
No!
I have every right to be here. You heard the judge. I don't mean you any harm. Look, I tried to talk to you this morning at court, but David was there.
You've been following me?
As if that's a normal reason, like, but David was there. Like, of course. Like,
waiting until I was alone?
I had to. Look, he's wrong about me. If you would just listen.
No!
I need you to just...
No, you get away from me!
Don't scream!
Great stuff.
Garrett Sland returns. You know, we pulled out, you know, that was from, like, season four. So now three seasons later, we pulled that out. That was pretty cool because he gets out of jail. I mean, it was a good storyline. You know, it gave a chance to revisit some fun stuff with Donna and then lead us into the, you know, he's the red herring in this one because it's really Ethan Potter, as I remember.
Well, Evan, I was just going to make that point that it was great to bring this character back because you kind of threw us off the beaten path a little bit with, maybe it was this character and they brought him back to do this.
I know. And we tried to have him go babyface.
A little bit. We see more in the middle.
Like I should have finished what I started.
Where he did say that. Yeah. I asked Tori what she thought of her haircut here. Her hairstyle, and I said, "Do you have an opinion about your hairstyle?" And she said, "No, but my nose is on point." So there's that's a little Toryism for you there. Okay, let's see what else we've pulled. There is this. Okay, this.
Being with me again.
Kiss for luck would help.
All right, let's go! Miller!
Thank you.
Kelly's playing playing a game here, yes?
Yeah. Yeah, trying to keep busy. stirring the pot a little bit here. It's fun. I love the cutaways. Everyone's involved in this story. Everyone's got a little bit at stake in there. Tracy is just holding her own. You know, she in this episode, I don't know if you pulled the clips, but she, after her and Brandon kind of spend the night together in the morning, she says, as they're leaving, I love you. Like, just
I want to play that. This is a big thing that I want to get to in this episode. I am curious for our audience members, and Brian has a poll on Reddit. I don't know how to share that, but go to the Beverly Hills 90210 Reddit. Have you ever accidentally, and I want some of the fan participation here. Have you ever said, I love you too soon? I'm just so, Larry, you have said it.
Yeah. Yeah. Not going to get into the details.
Brian, have you?
Brian? Luckily, you said that I have not. No.
Oh, you're so perfect, aren't you? well, here's Tracy.
Genius.
Thank you. Oh, by the way, your piece on the demise of meritocracy. Brilliant.
Thank you. Well, I gotta go. You got those pages?
Yeah, right here. So I'll see you again?
Thanks. Yeah. Okay. Bye. I love you.
Oh.
Oh. No. I didn't mean that.
Ooh. Okay.
No, I did mean it. I didn't mean to say it. Please say something.
I don't know what to say.
So I think we overscored that a little bit, but we should have got a little bit lighter on that part. But yeah, it's something that happens. You know, And because the other person doesn't say it back, it's kind of, you know, it's good story worthy stuff. You know, it's some of Jill's best work, I think. Jill Novick, who played the Tracy Galian, and who's a good friend of the podcast.
The thing is, go ahead,
Val just warned her in the morning too. They had this discussion, her and Val. She said, "Don't you never want to be the first person to say it?" Which, you know, Val was trying to help, but maybe I think that was in the back of her head when she said it.
Oh, I forgot that. That's fantastic. You see, you know, these writers are not that bad. They're not as bad as the actors say.
There is also, I didn't pull this clip, but in terms of the writers being smart, there is even a foreshadowing of Chloe, which we get in this somewhere where David's mentioning that this is that he's playing.
Oh, yeah, he's at the production playing in the background. Yeah.
I have to say, I see people writing about this. I do think Brandon overreacted a little bit to the I Love You.
You know, I think, you know, again, this is the kind of the Boy Scout in Brandon that he just didn't want to hurt her because he wasn't really sure where he was. So it's just, it was a little bit aggressive. It was further, you know, look, he's used to playing. He's a player. He sleeps with a lot of women. I hate to say it, but if we track it, probably is a pretty decent amount. And it's a little bit overdone. I agree.
Brian, what's your thought?
Good God, just rough. Poor Tracy. And then she makes it worse with the whole, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Wait, yes, I did. It's like, just walk away.
Stop talking. But again, we needed this to come out. We were pressure pointing this relationship because it wasn't going to work out. We already knew at that point where we were going.
I mean, it's a testament to Jill's acting because she nails this. You know what I mean?
That's Tracy. That's her personality.
You know, there's a little bit. She's, you know, a little bit over her head with these people, and she's a little insecure, and you know, she's a farm girl. She's in L.A. and you know, I think she plays it really nicely. You know, for a girl from New York, actually, she's a big Ranger fan.
Let's see. Steve says, "Great casting, though, as Garrett Sland is creep as fuck."
David Bowie is a wonderful actor who, you know, gave himself to this part. And as we have in the little opening, you know, he almost got arrested by someone thinking he was really a felon. You know, they recognized him for America's Most Wanted, they thought. You know,
oh, boy. You
got to serve the show.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not really acknowledging any of these. Let's see.
By the way, one thing I noticed. Oh, go ahead.
No, it's. I don't know. Okay. Also, did others notice the brilliant subtle touch of how Kelly calls Val Valerie, and Val always calls Kelly Kel? Did you do that on purpose, Larry?
Sure.
take the trophy.
It was Larry McCarthy.
That's a Larry McCarthy. Yeah. Go ahead, Brian.
I think the actors just fell into that.
Yeah, I was just going to say something I noticed this watching this episode was the amount of leather jackets in this episode. It's insane. You have Claire, Tom, Val, Kelly, and Donna. All of them wear a leather jacket at some point in this episode. I don't know. I just thought that was trippy to me.
Well, you know, again, you know, talking about the haircuts and the wardrobe, I mean, the cast really, you know, they saw somebody else had something, they wanted to have it too, whether it's a hairdo
That's what I figured.
What?
Alyssa says, love Brandon, but he was such a jerk to Tracy, which we all kind of agreed.
He just wasn't all in enough.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of Claire, Claire has got this thing going on here where she mentions that she wants to, they might get a house together. Yeah, where did this all come from?
House sitting now. Well, you know, again, professors always go overseas and they need people to house sit for them for a certain amount of time. So we had that in the back of our minds. We thought it'd be fun to have them like play house in this episode. And it is a C story, but it's a good C story where you put the characters together and see how they can live together.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to play. Do we still have you, Larry? Are you still with us? Did Larry freeze up? There, you're back.
Okay. Yes, I'm back.
So I asked
Kathleen.
I did ask the real Claire some questions about the scene that we're going to show. I shortened this just so everybody understands what's happening.
imagine having your own house full of stuff like this?
Now you telling me you want to get married?
No, I'm admiring the china. I'm not going to get married just so someone will give me a crock pot.
Is that my first thought?
Will it hurt my feelings?
I love you so much, Claire.
Okay, go ahead.
That was it. That was my first thought. So you stay where you are, and I'll stay where I am.
And we'll rendezvous like mad.
How about a little rendezvous action right now?
Okay, so I asked from Claire's perspective, because Kathleen loved working on 90210, so I just want to be clear, and she loved everybody. But this is what she said. First thought, gross, all of it. I asked her about the giggle. Remember, Larry and I, we were watching it, and we said, what was the giggle about? And the giggle was fake, and to act like I was into him, which most certainly I wasn't. Again, this is Claire's perspective now, probably, of Steve's. Also, as if a guy that wears a cobalt blue mock turtle would be with a cool girl like that. Claire would think he was the biggest tool. None of it made sense. I asked her if she was leaving, if she knew she was leaving yet. She said she had no idea if I was leaving yet. I don't have any recollection of that scene or episode. Also, my acting is so bad, forced, and stilted.
Kathleen was in a mood today. Oh, my goodness.
that is the mood called Claire.
I find I disagree, because I think, you know, people like that sometimes really want to have the other side. You know, opposites do attract.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think it's also a valid position. And, you know, they actually had some good moments together. And for her, looking at it through her character, she's like, he's like Pygmalion. She can kind of
I took this as her looking at it through Claire's eyes probably all these years later. That's how I took that. Because she has told me that she just absolutely loved everybody. So she's having a little fun with the podcast.
I was aware that I didn't really like the story in this particular one.
You didn't like the story, you said, in
the
this?
The music scoring.
Yeah.
I didn't like it so much. I thought it was a good storyline, and you know, we're going to test their relationship. But at this point, I don't think we did know that she was leaving the show.
This is episode 17.
Yeah, 17. I don't think we knew at this point that she was. It was all coming up for grabs, and then we decided to come up with the you know, test their relationship through their parents' relationship, have their parents go at each other. You know, have Chancellor Arnold and Samantha Sanders have problems, and then which would cause them problems. You know, it's nothing like having problems when you're having problems over someone else's problems.
I also asked her about the green outfit that she was wearing, and she said, I picked the velour 70s vibe Catherine Hamnett track zip up because it was and is cool. So that's her reaction to what she was wearing. Larry, if you did not say one time on this podcast, we should get Kathleen Robertson on this show, I don't know that I would have access to the real Claire Arnold. So thank you very much, because it is so wonderful to have. I appreciate it very much. Remember,
well, I remember you had one of your little nephews or whatever, like, beg her to come on.
That's right. Yes.
And she got a video. We did like a full-on assault.
We did. That was, you missed that year. Were you around for that, Brian, as a, from the outside point of view watching?
I don't think I was, no.
Yeah, that's nice. I guess we've been going a couple of years now. Huh?
This is going on. I think we're in our fourth year.
Yeah, started in 2020. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. I wrote hockey talk. I have no idea what this is. Let's see what this means.
Well, the hockey talk is here.
Who is that? That's Cam Neely. He's one of the best power forwards who I ever played. And that's Ron Duguay. He's one of the fastest skaters in hockey. He's got an incredible pair. Is that why he doesn't wear a helmet? Oh, that's the way he played. When the NHL made helmets mandatory, it was optional for anyone who's already playing. How do you know all these things? Oh, right. It's a Buffalo thing.
I have a sense that Laurie McCarthy did not write that dialogue.
No. Yeah, it's fun to have the stuff there. Rhonda Duguay actually married the supermodel of her time, Carol Alt.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
They're still married, as far as I know.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. What else?
I love those two together, Val and Tracy. They had such a good little friendship dynamic going on.
Yeah, that, you know, we discovered that, and we continued it through the rest of the season, I think, you know, because she, yeah, definitely, she became a confidant for Val, because Val wasn't, you know, she, it was just good. I mean, the other girls didn't make much of an effort for her, so.
Renee B. says, love Tracy, poor girl. Paula, who's getting a lot of comments today for some reason, I like Tracy. Dimitri says that he loved, all the episodes, he wrote it differently. All the episodes where Brandon got to skate, I love so much. Okay. Liz C. Hey, Liz C. I noticed the leather jackets too. Oh my God. Catherine West has to top it. I got a leather jacket because
it was kind of subliminal messaging, you know, that was making it the new trend.
There was a lot of power on these episodes because, again, you know, 15 to 20 million people were watching this on the first episode, the first run of it. So that was just enormous.
Our friend Ryan Thomas Brown says, hey, I know you guys, each and every one of you were at my wedding in Vegas. I love you guys. Team 90210, Team Months. Miss Ryan. I miss Ryan Thomas Brown.
Ryan, and you're still married to Gretchen. It's wonderful.
That is lovely to hear. That's a good...
We didn't screw it up for you. We tried, though. I mean, we kind of let it out. We met Brian there, actually. That's where we met Brian and everybody.
Yeah, that's where we all met.
Yeah.
Yes, I was actually very impressed with how much television knowledge you had, Brian, at that point. So I was person
needs to be... Larry and I were just going on and on.
I was like, this person needs to be on the podcast. Okay. I'm trying to see. Nobody wrote about if they ever said, I love you first.
Oh,
let me check the poll results. Let me see what's going on.
Let's see what's going on with the poll results.
You know, it was a random cougar.
Here's some more.
Want your damn restraining order? Fine.
I got a lot of DMs about this punch. This is very WWE. This.
Well, David helps him get over there. He's selling a little bit. The selling is not great, but it's okay.
Well, he's like the Undertaker. Yeah. He just bounces right back from that punch.
I'm not a fan of the Undertaker.
Oh, Jesus.
Really? Not a fan of Mark?
Of the wrestler, the person, or all of it?
Just
we're talking Mark.
I never had a bad experience, but my good friend Gary Brown did, because we were on tour together. We kind of were roommates on tour, so he kind of got fired because of the Undertaker.
Oh yeah, Mark had a big.
What did he?
This is what he did, because Gary was a Hollywood guy like me, brought out to Stanford in 2005 to improve the product, and he was pretty good at it because he was, you know, he had to work quickly in the directing crew And he did some writing too. So I think he was doing a rundown with She Who Must Be Obeyed, known as Stephanie. And he goes, and then that guy comes in, you know, and right there, we have that guy right there. And she went, that guy? That guy? That guy? You talking about the Undertaker? He was gone.
That seems more like a
Stephanie thing, yeah.
That's more of a Stephanie thing. I'm sure Undertaker
would be. Stephanie. That was what I'm saying. Well, it was Stephanie, but.
Because of the Undertaker.
I guess we always assume we don't like him, the Undertaker, because of the heck. But, you know, it was a blessing in disguise for Gary, who got married 2 weeks ago.
Poor Gary. Leah says, I somehow only discovered your show a couple months ago, so I'm only on episode 70-something and loving every minute. Thank you, Leah. Thank you. Thank you for watching.
Yeah, I think we've been going at this thing, and people seem to like it. And there's, okay. lots to talk about.
People are now doing this. Larry, what was Shawn Michaels like to work with?
Very good. I did some writing for Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid. He was excellent. Really a pro, and just a pleasure to work with.
I'm surprised to hear that, but
Chrissy says it's super annoying because Pluto and Paramount, you can't watch those episodes. The Hawaii episode, there's a couple of them that you don't get to watch, and I don't understand why. Chrissy, then welcome to the podcast, and this is one of the things that we've been talking about here.
It's
the music rights, basically. But Chuck, I think, has been really into it and onto it, and he's got Paramount Plus to consider, doing it. So I think we're making some progress on it. So
Chuck's making some headway. So hopefully we'll see some changes soon.
Okay, Larry, I'm sorry. Larry, did you ever have a beer with Stone Cold Steve Austin?
No.
Okay.
I don't drink. But he wasn't there when I was there. I never, he was split at that point.
Kelly Bishop wants to know, have we ever had the actor who played Doc Martin on? I'm looking to see if there's an episode. Hi, Kelly Bishop. I hope you're doing well.
We love Michael Durrell. I mean, we'd love to have him on, and we only can surmise what the problem is, but he's around. He's above ground. And I think whoever his representative is just has kind of put us off.
Well, so I'm going to be quite honest with you that I don't think it's a possibility. I think Michael's been through a lot over the last few years, and
medically challenged.
I don't know. I put my hands up on it, but it's unfortunately not going to happen. But
it was too bad. He was a wonderful actor. He added a lot to the show, and him and Donna had a very special relationship.
Multiple times he has sent word that he loves Chuck and Larry and everybody on 90210. So that has come through multiple times.
And we love him back.
Yeah. Okay. This is how you end the episode.
I'm sorry I haven't called in a while, but I did send you a present.
Donna, you're there, aren't you? I hate it when you don't take my calls. It makes me very angry. I want you, Donna. I need you. And I'm going to have you.
Scary.
Criminal minds. Yeah, again, we exposed the red herring, and he's not the problem. Somebody else is. I love having Donna as the weather girl. That was a really good idea, I think. She took to that really well.
I mean, I have to say, I think Tori takes to everything really well on 90210. You know what I mean? Like, you gave her bringing back this heel villain, and she nailed all that in this episode. She played the fear really great. I mean, and also the weather girl, and then in the next episode, being held hostage, I think she nails all this as well.
We're going into sweeps, and so we got to really pump up the volume. So forgive us, these are kind of really heightened storylines at this point. But that's what it took to kind of grab eyeballs in the seventh year of a show. You just got to. Again, this is a manufactured process, and you're just responding to all everything given. So we're thinking about now. It's a pretty good lead into that February show, and I think we got really good ratings on that. We interrupt this program.
What was the ratings like for this episode?
I think in general probably be like between 12 and 14 million. Because already we were starting to go down a bit. Maybe the highest was maybe 15 million this season.
C-Wired brought the tech talk. I had that answering machine, so that's WDW says it would have been epic if this turned out to be Ray Pruitt. That's some WWE shit right there.
I like it. Yeah, that's a story slam there.
Right.
I know we're going to talk about the girls next week because they were really upset about what happened to Ray Pruitt's character. But again, he was used to serve the show. It was our job is not to create careers.
I want to say something about and I'll probably reiterate this next week. Everyone is talking on their podcasts now, and they have opinions about things, right? But we have to. It's the forum. It's the podcast forum. I'm sure Jenny and Tori have never thought about this shit, this storyline with Ray Pruitt in 100 years. They don't care, but they're watching it back. So it's a podcast where you have to have an opinion about it.
It's good. Again, it's good to see all the perspectives of it. It's fun. It's fun. It's fun for the fans to hear it, you know. And the good thing is, all the actors and us, we all really like each other, and we all understand a rising tide lifts all boats. We're all in the same business still, and we're thankful for it, and we're all grateful for the show.
Jessica says, damn, Kathleen didn't hold back. To be honest, how she described their relationship is how Claire felt about Steve later in the relationship. You got it, Jessica. That's exactly where we were going with that, I think. Is there anything that we have not covered? How's the poll?
Not good. I mean, granted, I did... This was very short notice. So like we just posted this like
not good. So did we have one vote?
I love you is kind of like, you know, saying someone else is the wrong person's name out during, you know, coitus or something.
Yeah. We you have know, we've gotten
five votes. Have you, ever, so done, have you ever done that, Larry?
Shit, yeah.
How about you, Brian?
No comment.
Okay. Well, I like that Larry just answered it. Yes. Of course. Right.
So we have five votes on the poll.
Oh, that's amazing. I love a good five vote poll. Yeah.
One for yes, two for no, and two for someone said I love you to me too soon.
Oh, that's
a good one. That counts. That counts.
That's even a better question. As far
as understanding, and how'd you react to it? That's the thing. I mean,
that's what I would like to know.
Were you put off by it? Yeah, it's a little bit scary. I mean, you realize that, you know, it's not, yeah. I mean,
I don't know what this means. Catherine West says, considering I know about a million X more about the storyline on the actual show than Jenny, I'm good sticking here. Dead. What does that mean? What is she saying, Brian?
You don't understand what saying? Well, she's pretty much saying, I mean, Jenny doesn't remember anything about the show anyway, so why would
I? Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to air that. I'm sorry. Oops. Oh, I didn't know what it meant. Okay, this has been this week's episode, and I thought we covered everything here. I don't think we missed any storylines.
No, it was a good setup episode. You know, it had some fun and it had some standalone storyline, but it's all leading to next week in the sweeps episodes. And again, you know, the different relationships we kind of turn around a little bit here and there.
Yeah,
I kind of liked it. I hadn't seen it in a while. I enjoyed it.
I think one takeaway for me is how good Kane Pacoy is.
Yes.
I think he's a really lovely actor and subtle, and I love how he didn't, like you said, didn't.
The other thing which is good in the episode is the Donna David stuff, because, again, it pulls them back a bit into a memory where they really were close. They really relied on each other's support systems. And boyfriend, girlfriend, but there's nobody that she can trust more than David. So that we kind of reinforce that here. Because we're getting ready, you know, to move down in 15 episodes. We got to, you know, they're really back solid and, you know, making love.
Nothing brings David and Donna closer than a rapist. That
exactly. Maybe the old and David
thing. And a stalker. Yeah. Chrissy Lee says, I love Jamie Walters and I have been trying to contact him just to say thanks for his music. Helping me through major illness. It's been 30 years of not meeting. Least I can prove I'm not a stalker. Okay. Mm-hmm. I will share that with him for you. Okay. I think we've got it all here. This has been great. So now next week, me and Brian are going to go to work and we're going to pull all the humorous, interesting things that have been said on other podcasts that warrant a response. And if you guys have one,
Right, we can call it in other words.
In other words, sure. Yeah. If you all have watched or heard something on another podcast or on a news clip or a television show, it doesn't have to be just a podcast that really fucking infuriated you or that you agreed with or, you know, that you thought was a really good, valid point and want to get the reactions of Chuck and Larry or myself and Brian or the other fans that are watching it. send it our way.
You know, I should forward you some of these because Jason Tracy always sends me and said, hey, the girls are talking about the writers today. Yes. And he always tells me, does he send you also?
Yes, he does that to me as well. And Chris does that. Chris,
those are good. So use those. I mean, there are some good.
There's some good ones there. And this Chris D'Annunzio, who I don't know if you remember him, but once he always tries to create the WCW and NWO WWE wars. He thinks that our podcast at OMG is that, and it's totally not. Like, we love them, and I think they love us. And
we're more like a babyface tag team.
we're like. I don't even know what it would be like, some ECW shit. You know what I mean? That's what our podcast is.
We're ECW, yeah.
We're not even in that same.
I could have written for ECW, but they wanted us to do it for free.
Yeah.
So some guys did.
Exactly. Okay, guys, this is that, and we will be back next week. Are you going to make clams tonight, Larry? Should I fly out?
I'm going to go clamming again on Saturday, and I'm going to get a lot, probably like 7 dozen, and have a bunch of different stuff and give some out to people. And but yeah, I'm going to try this new Portuguese clam dish, kind of like in a broth, kind of like mussels in a wine and garlic sauce, but it'll be clams. But the Portuguese do it a particular way. Which a friend of mine was just there and got me the recipe. So,
okay, that. Catherine, Renee's talking about Tiffany again. I love when Renee does this in our little, because Renee Catherine, listen to Tiff on the Chelsea Handler podcast from December. You're welcome. Okay, so we will pull clips from that podcast.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. Do you know it, Brian? Do you know what she said?
Well, no, I was just going to say, for those that, I don't know if it's okay to share this, but Renee is the person that runs the Tiffany Thiessen fan page on Instagram.
Renee is to Tiffany Thiessen what I am to Claire Arnold, maybe, okay. Right? Like the super fan of that person and you know, probably has heard some things through the pipeline. Yeah. Okay. This has been a great week. We will be back next week. This was a setup episode of our podcast for next week in a way. So
Chuck's enjoying James Taylor. Should be a nice night in LA tonight. Should be good.
Yes.
What's the weather like? Good. Perfect.
Okay. See everybody next week.
Bye-bye.
Right.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.